Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Oh, Ben Crenshaw. I just love your voice, and I wish you were in the studio with me, but kick off the show right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
And want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun? Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
This is spring. It's not summer. 86 is spring. Hey there, Hawaii. Spring is in the air. So make your life easier with our riding mower sale. At Aloha Power Equipment, I've always wanted to ride one of those things, you know, through the deep grass. Whether you're a homeowner or a supersized landscaper, we've got the riding mower of your dreams waiting here for you at Aloha Power Equipment. And don't forget all the accessories that make it even easier, from mowing to mulching and bagging. We make yard work easy. So mow it, blow it, and bag it, and you're done. Remember, it's still fire season. Always will be. Protect your property with the best tools around. And if you live on a neighbor island, no worries. We ship off island just for you. New shipments rolling in daily. Tell them Danielle sent you. Aloha Power Equipment.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 coach certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box, see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come, join the aloha at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
And it is a wonderful day. I was so into the music for a minute. That's just rock and roll all morning long. All right, we've got tee times for you this morning, and we've got some really good tee times. First of all, Volcano Golf Club, they're going to be featured this morning. What a spectacular golf course. I mean, if you want to watch, you know, I probably in the evening, you can probably see the eruption from the Volcano Golf Course. It's between Mauna Kea and Mauna Loa. Spectacular. There's an 8:30, a 9:24, and a 10:48. And it looks like Pele's Peeps are on the golf course. We've got Makalei, 8:40, 9:16, 10:26, Jack and Jill. They're going up the hill, and we've got at Poipu Bay, 11:10, 12:40, 1:20. Yes, they're having a wonderful time at Poipu Bay because next week they're aerating. Kauai Lagoon has an 8:56 and a 10 o'clock. Pearl Country Club has an 8:56 and a 9:28 and a 10:48. Women Mean Business are on the course. Hawaii Kai, 9:42, 10:16. Turtle Bay, 8:30, 9:40, 12:50. The Sand Dollars are playing. Is that all they're going to wager? using their sand dollars. Eva Beach Golf Course, 9:18, 11 o'clock, 12:40. Bayview has a 9:32, a 10:18, 11:46. And Hawaii Prince, 8:48, 9:16, 10:10. Let's go to Maui, Wailea on the Gold Course, 9:20, 11:40. Emerald, 8:50, 9 o'clock, 9:50. And 10:20, now aerated, so, you know, be ready. It's an interesting challenge when you play a course that's just been aerated, particularly on the greens, yes. Blue course, 8:52, 10:08, and the car guys are on the golf course, regardless. They're always on the golf course. Well, today it's going to be mostly cloudy. Windward and Mauka showers for most of the state. Leeward side, scattered showers during the day, isolated showers at night. High today between 80 and 85. The low 67 to 72. They don't tell us what the humidity factor is, but it's high. East winds about 15 miles per hour. On the Big Island, winter weather advisory. That's still in effect 6 a.m. Saturday for the Big Island summits. And Saturday and Sunday, mostly cloudy. On the windward side, numerous showers and a slight chance of some thunderstorms during the day. And then occasionally we'll have some showers at night. On the leeward side, scattered showers, a slight chance of thunderstorms during the day, isolated showers at night. Well, high today, 81 to 86. And that doesn't count the humidity. A low 66 to 71, and the winds are out of the east, 15 miles per hour. Got a great show today for you. A lot of really far out people on it. Gary Williams is on. Michael Patrick Shields is with us. Andrew LaRussi and Matt Janella. We'll start it off with Gary Williams after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Aloha Power Equipment, your landscape superstore. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. We put power at your fingertips. The Honolulu Sign Company, branding, banks, shopping centers, businesses, and hotels since 1939. Claude Brousseau, master teaching professional at the Wailea Golf Academy. The Aloha Section PGA, teach your children to play golf, the gift that lasts forever.
Gary Williams, host of Five Clubs Golf on YouTube and a podcast. But maybe you know him best from his morning drive work on Golf Channel, the first morning golf talk show on television, fabulous guests. And now Gary's show, Five Clubs Golf, is on Golf Channel. Let's bring him into the clubhouse. Hi, Gary.
Danielle, it's good to hear your voice. How are you?
I'm good. And you sound terrific. And I didn't realize that you hit your first golf shot on the range in, was it Boone, North Carolina, and you were 6 years old?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I was speaking about 18 months ago. I was at a speaking engagement, and the gentleman who was interviewing me brought that up. And it just happened, this elderly gentleman who was in the audience owns the Boone Golf Club, and that evening he made me an honorary member of the club. I've not been back there since, but nonetheless, yeah, Boone Golf Club in the mountains of North Carolina, and all these years later, and his family has owned that facility for multiple generations. So, I had that episode about 18 months ago. This gentleman said my family has owned that place for more than 50 years, and we would love you to be an honorary member.
Wow.
So how about that?
Hey, that's awesome. That's that's kismet. You know, it's wonderful. And then you watch Tom Weisskopf shoot 63 in the opening round of the 1980 U.S. Open?
I did, and I've brought this story up to Jack Nicklaus on a few occasions, most recently on his birthday. He was on my show on Five Clubs on Golf Channel on his birthday to celebrate his 85th. And my father said to me, who do you want to follow today? And I said, Nicklaus. And he said, Gary, you're not going to see a shot. So he was three groups behind Weisskopf, Lanny Watkins, and Fuzzy Zeller. That's the group that we followed. And Tom shot 63. What did Jack do? Three groups behind him? Shot 63.
Wow. You know, there was something about the chemistry of the guys in that generation playing, Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, Weisskopf, all of those guys, there was a camaraderie, but there was something that when they would challenge one another without even saying anything, just a cock of the head, you know, and a little smile or a smirk.
No question. Interestingly enough, look, I believe every generation has their greatest players. I think it's challenging to compare generations. I'm a huge believer that the generation of players in the 60s and 70s, led by Jack, and of course it was Arnold at the beginning of the 60s. He won his last golf tournament in 1973. But I was with Ray Floyd last Thursday evening in Augusta. He's 82 years old. Ray Floyd was in that generation, and, mm-hmm. and guys like that, and I could go down the list, Tom Kite and Ben Crenshaw, they were early 70s, peaked at the end of that particular period. But all of those guys, Hale Irwin, Lanny Watkins won his major in 1977, Weisskopf, I call them the Rough Riders. Like, they were afraid of nothing.
Yes.
They would take each other on. And now when you see them together, you know, they do have a great warmth with each other. But at that time, they would do anything to beat each other.
Yes. That was, you know, and they weren't afraid. It was not impolite to demonstrate that feeling. Not, you know, like, but just that look. Just the look was enough for all of us watching to know, oh, here we go, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, that was exciting. So before we go any further, though, you have to explain, for folks who don't know, Five Clubs Golf. Where'd that name come from?
So, Danielle, and I know that I've shared this with you, when we created Five Clubs, which was 4 years ago as a digital media platform, you know, we thought, okay, modestly, well, let's think of something that can be foundational with the expectation that we could grow, and most importantly, in a modest way, contribute to the game of golf. And so Five Clubs is an homage to the original Five Clubs that made up the construct of the United States Golf Association when it was formed in 1894, St. Andrews, which is not St. Andrews in Scotland, St. Andrews on the Hudson, Chicago Golf Club, Shinnecock, the Country Club, and Newport Country Club. Those were the five clubs that got together and said, we need to create something that as golf grows in this country, that we can help foster the growth. And so those five clubs were the original five clubs that were the charter of the United States Golf Association in 1894. And, of course, you know, they had their first championships in 1895 held at Newport Country Club. So we actually, in our studio, we have a celebration of those five clubs. Their five logos sit kind of over my shoulder on my single shot when I'm on camera. So that is what the genesis of Five Clubs came from.
Cool. That is awesome. It's perfect. I mean, look, and in a way, you're bringing from way back when they first got together and decided to, you know, call them, you know, the first five golf clubs formed the USGA. You're kind of making that continue, or as you said, pay homage to the to what they did, what they created, and how they solidified the game of golf.
Yeah, golf in this country, kind of it was from a vision standpoint, nobody knew what type of interest level there was going to be in the game, but they had men and women who thought, you know what, this game can be participatory. People we think can like it. And then it was, and from there, you know, the country was very fortunate that it had Francis Ouimet, who did what he did less than 20 years later in 1913 at one of those original clubs at Brookline. And he lived across the street on Clyde Street. He won the U.S. Open. And it was an 11-year-old Bobby Jones, who was born in 1902, was inspired by that.
Yeah.
And obviously, he became America's first great golf champion, started winning his own major championships in the early 20s, won the Grand Slam himself in 1930, and then he retired at the age of 28. But golf had to have good fortune and had to have good luck And it did with a couple of individuals who did really extraordinary things.
And back then, when you said retired at 28, that wasn't unusual, I don't think.
No.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. And he was an unusual person. He had uncommon kind of interests and intelligence. This is somebody who had three different academic degrees from three different universities, from Georgia Tech, from Emory University, and from Harvard. I mean, this was not only somebody who could play golf in a very special way, he had the ability to express himself with the way that he could write. He had a law degree. He had an engineering degree. This was somebody who was a Renaissance man who thought to himself, there's more to life than just playing golf. And golf took a lot out of him. I mean, he would lose 10 to 12 to 15 pounds just playing in a competition just from the stress of it all. Because he was a rock star. He was a superstar. He was akin to Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth in 1929 went to Wingfoot when Bobby Jones was trying to win the U.S. Open, which he did in a playoff. And there's a great photograph. It's my most favorite photograph in golf. It's greatness watching greatness. It was Babe Ruth kneeling behind a tee watching Bob Jones play golf. He was at the height of his powers at that time.
Wow. That is so cool. Babe Ruth was like my man.
Yes.
When I was growing up, it was like Babe Ruth, yes. Okay, let's talk about today's greatness. Did you play golf with Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus?
I never played golf with Tiger or Jack. I've had the good fortune of being around both of them, not only in obviously around major championships, but also in private, intimate settings. I've done a handful of one-on-one interviews with both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Jack has been very good to me. My most important, memorable moment of my career was doing the last interview that Jack, Arnold, Gary, and Lee Trevino did together for television, and that was in the fall of 2015. Of course, Arnold was gone a year later. He was gone in September of 2016. And Jack gave me a ride home on Air Bear on his plane. It was me, Jack, Arnold, and Barbara Nicklaus.
Wow.
And I was sitting across from the two of them it was like looking at FDR and Churchill.
Mm.
And I'm like, I can't believe that I'm bearing witness to these two men, Arnold in the twilight of his life. And this is, I'll share this anecdote because it speaks to their competitiveness till the very end. We dropped down in Atlanta because Barbara and Jack were going to get off of Jack's plane to spend the weekend at their son Michael's house. And as they got off the plane, he pulled Arnold in, gave him a kiss on the cheek, whispered something in his ear, and got off the plane. And the pilot had stepped out of the cockpit. And Arnold said to him, what is the flight time to Orlando? And the pilot said, 43 minutes. And Arnold looked at me and said, my plane would do it in 39. He was competing with Jack to the very end.
Of course they were.
Yes.
Now, I have to tell you that I respect and admire and enjoy watching all of the guys on the tour. But I have to tell you, I was thrilled when Rory McIlroy finally got his, you know, the championship title at Augusta National, winning the Masters, and as a consequence, completing his Grand Slam. It was like, yes, he's back!
Daniel, I think that everybody, and listen, Justin Rose is a true gentleman champion, and what he did on Sunday to just post the score that he did, and
mm-hmm.
and I understand anybody who roots for anybody, but you know, for people like yourself and me who cover the sport, you know, we've waited a quarter century to watch somebody complete the career Grand Slam, and when Tiger did it, you know, he did it a month after, you know, his first four majors were the four. He was very efficient. He got the career Grand Slam done as quickly as you possibly could, in the sense that the first four that he won, which was the Masters in 97, the PGA in 1999, and then winning the U.S. Open in June of 2000, and then going to the Old Course a month later and completing it himself, Tiger completed the career Grand Slam on three different occasions. Of his 15 majors, he's got the career Grand Slam three times, but we had waited 25 years for somebody to do it. And for Rory, the excruciating part of seeing him not only not complete the career Grand Slam, having his first chance in the spring of 2015 at the Masters, but not winning any other majors. So to break through the vortex of winning a major, let alone being the Masters, to complete the career Grand Slam. And Sarazen, as we all know, yes, he did it there, but it was retroactive because nobody knew what he had won when he won in 1935. To see him do this and know the burden that he was carrying trying to do it, and watching in real time the anguish and the nervousness, and seeing him hit these faulty shots and then turning around and hitting a hero shot like he did on 15 and then again on 17 and turning around and making bogey on 18 and having to go back out there in the playoff on that same hole and finally getting it done. It was exhausting. It was excruciating. It was exhilarating. It was everything.
Yeah.
And it was one of the great golf stories and the completion of a story that will continue, but in terms of that chapter being written, that we'll ever see.
Yeah. And seeing him finally playing with some freedom in those,
yes,
that was, to me, was like, wow, finally, he's not thinking, he's playing, you know? It's like, because the brain and the thinking and the worry, all of that stuff just tightens you up. You can't play. And here he is.
No.
Yeah.
No, you can't. It's, you know, I'm the reason why I wanted to do what I do, and I've wanted to do it since I was a kid, was because I find athletic performance at the highest level to be inspiring. And I find people who can perform under excruciating pressure and the consequence of what they might do or might not do and the fact that they do it. Performance to me, whether it is figure skating or tennis or golf or throwing a football like Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes or whoever it is, that has 100 million people watching what they're doing,
mm-hmm,
I have always found that to be amazing. And if the mind is not cooperating with the body, there's no way the body can perform with ease and with comfort and with the dexterity that comes with freedom, as you said. And there's very little freedom knowing what all of these people know is on the line. But when you can find that flow state and do it, I find all of it to be amazing. And
yes,
so to see him do it and to see Tiger do it all the years that he did it, and obviously Jack, and I was just a little boy when he was still competing and winning. I mean, that U.S. Open, I was 12 years old, but I had an awareness. I knew what they were doing because my dad was a good college athlete, and I wanted to do everything. And I was good at a little kid, but I hit my own ceiling when I was a teenager, and to go on and watch feats of like what Rory did.
Mm.
So, I mean, that's you wait, like I said, we've waited 25 years for somebody to do it, and it wasn't easy. It was, you could see it. You could see it with every faulty shot. Like, why did that just happen? Because his mind is getting in the way, because the enormity of all of this is hard to get past. And then when you find that freedom and that flow state, and you hit shots like he hit, you're like, my God, he can do this.
Yes.
And he did it.
Yes. We're seeing the old Tiger. I mean, excuse me, the old Rory McIlroy, the young Rory McIlroy. The no baggage, nothing, you know, the scar tissue that comes with all of the things that, and Augusta's always been his nemesis. It has,
going all the way back to 2011, and that's, you know, I was lucky enough, it was 3 weeks after that 2011 Masters, I'd reached out, I had just started at Golf Channel, you had mentioned Morning Drive, we had just launched it in January of that year, and, you know, he's got the 54-hole lead and implodes on Sunday, and not only does he not win, he finishes tied for 15th, and I spent a half a day with him at the Memorial Tournament, and I caddied for him in the Pro-Am, we had a camera crew with us, and it was not about talking about what didn't happen. It was talking about the road ahead. 10 days later, he won the U.S. Open. And, you know, but that boy who he was then at 21 years of age, look at him now. He's got a young daughter. And, mm-hmm. and to see, I don't know what his career would have looked like had he won then. What I know now is that, you know, the perspective that he has, that the highs, which have been the highest of highs, but the lows, which have included 2022 at the Open Championship, and then back-to-back U.S. Opens with the anguish of not finishing the deal most recently at Pinehurst. Like, he's had to overcome that. And there's a term, it's darkest before the dawn. I mean, think about it. It was less than a year ago that he missed those two short putts at Pinehurst. And you know what he did? That's the triumph of the human spirit, the idea that I can overcome this, that what that was an outcome. I'm not going to look at it as a failure, and I will create another opportunity for myself, which he did. Slept on a 54-hole lead, went out there, made a double bogey on the first hole, and took us on one of the most circuitous, most tumultuous rides that we've ever seen on a Masters Sunday to win and cross the line and complete a career Grand Slam. That's a hell of a story.
Yes, it is. So, six golfers have completed the career Grand Slam. Gene Sarazen, Ben Hogan, Gary Player, Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods, and Rory McIlroy. That's, it's, you know, and then there was, just in closing here, there's always, you know, I wondered, was there ever a time when one player had all the you know, major championships on their wherever they keep their trophies?
Well, Tiger had it in 2001 when he had won the last three of 2000 and then went to Augusta the next spring and completed his own Tiger Slam. Think about that. Think about him looking at his mantle and having all four that he was in possession of over what was, it was not the calendar year, but it had been, you know, the previous, it had been less than a calendar year because the first one was in June of 2000, the U.S. Open, which he won by 15 shots and then turned around the next spring in April. So in 10 months, he won all four majors.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Amazing.
Oh, Gary Williams, it seems like it's been forever since you've been on the show.
It's been too long.
Yes.
Let's make a deal.
Okay, ready.
If Rory wins the PGA in Charlotte, where I reside, and I am a mile from Quail Hollow.
Wow.
We will reconvene after that.
Oh, only if he wins.
No, we can do it whenever.
Oh,
but that's
good.
Even more reason.
I suggest that I put this in my calendar right now. Thank you.
Exactly. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
You too. Aloha. We're going to come back. Michael Patrick Shields on the road. He's the Hollywood insider, the radio talk show host, the author, the travel writer, the host of Michigan's Big Show with Michael Patrick Shields, award-winning syndicated talk show. He's my travel guru extraordinaire. His base is Beverly Hills. I never know where he is. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
No high fives for me?
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
So, you know what? If spring has sprung, you got to make your life easier with our riding mower sale at Aloha Power Equipment. Whether you're a homeowner and you just want a regular one for, you know, the yard, the nice yard that you have, and it's nice just to sit, you know, and have a glass of water and you just can kind of cruise. Yeah. Or you want a supersized landscaper because you've got hundreds of acres that have to be dealt with. We've got the smooth riding mower of your dreams waiting here for you. Don't forget the accessories. From mowing to mulching and bagging, we make yard work easy. Mow it, blow it, and bag it, and you're done, and your back's not hurting. Remember, it is fire season. It's always fire season. Maybe not after last night's pouring rain or this weekend's, but hey, protect your property because it's going to dry out quickly. You need the best tools around, and you'll find them at Aloha Power Equipment. And if you live on a neighbor island, no worries. We ship off island just for you. And the new shipments roll in daily. Yeah, tell them Danielle sent you.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 coach certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box, see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come, join the aloha at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Ah, Michael Patrick Shields, Hollywood insider, radio talk show host and author and travel writer. Welcome into the clubhouse. Hi, Michael Patrick.
Hey, happy Easter and happy Passover to you, Danielle Tucker. Aloha.
Aloha. It is, you know, if you want to find out more about Michael Patrick, my travel guru extraordinaire, just go to Travel Tattler and you'll be able to see photos and what he says about all the destinations, the Ireland, the Las Vegas. A lot of folks from Hawaii go to Vegas. Motor City or any one of the 35 countries. Do I need to update that? And countless visitor destinations around the world. So I said I don't know a clue where you are. Where are you?
Well, I wish that I were on a big island today because I would love to go to Easter Mass tomorrow morning at the Painted Church up there.
Oh, wow.
At 7 in the morning. Man, that would be so beautiful, but you know, you can be anywhere you want in your imagination, and of course with the internet today and those articles that you talked about, hopefully I transport people through storytelling. And you know, it's not a photo's guide, not like that. It's storytelling and people that I've met along the way and things that I've experienced that I share that I think would be fun. So you can go to goworldtravel.com or traveltattler.org, or my latest book is actually called Travel Tattler, and you can get that at Amazon. And so that way, you know, you can read a story and be entertained or amused and then say, I'd like to go experience that. And I've been lucky enough to be able to do that. And Hawaii was a big part of it, of course, and hopefully it will be again sometime soon.
Well, yeah, we haven't seen you in years. What's the deal?
Yeah, that's no good.
Yes.
There were great times, and I've been to pretty... I haven't been to Molokai, but people don't go there, do they?
Oh, Molokai? Oh, it's wonderful.
Really?
Yes, you can go there. Huh. It's more Hawaii than, you know, Oahu, or but the Big Island, you know, is, and now that there's a winter warning, you know, like there's going to be a lot of snow. So we've got the eruption happening, right? And so there's the volcano erupting, and then there's the snow falling. So you'll have Mauna Kea, which means white mountain, because it gets covered in snow, you know. And Mauna Loa is where the eruption's happening, when you see all the red and the, it's just incredible, and the lava's flowing down. So it's, you know, imagine sitting in between those two peaks. I don't know how you'd do that, but, and seeing the white Christmas, whatever, and then the red, And the just the fire and ice. Fire and ice. That's what it's all about on the Big Island.
Well,
it's wonderful.
I'm lucky that it's golf that took me to all these places, and they can take, you know, the old phrase, golf trip. It just feels good to say, and it's fun to talk about. And that can mean so many different things for different people. For some, it's a couples trip. For some, it's, you know, guys playing poker all night after they play golf all day, that kind of thing. And some people just want to play golf dawn till dusk, and some want to mix in something else, like some beach or pool. And Hawaii, the chill level, what I mean by that is your blood pressure just kind of drops. I know you live there, so, you know, you get it all the time. But for those of us who only get to come to Hawaii as a treasure, the minute that plane lands, your blood pressure just drops, and it's just fantastic. And so I salute you for living in paradise like that.
Relax. You know, yeah, and living here, of course, you know, I can't help it. I'm hearing the tinkle of the ice in the glass. What are you having?
Oh, sorry. I'm having a I'm so busted. Wow. This is a rocks glass of Irish whiskey called Writer's Tears with a little bit of ice in it today.
Okay.
Oh God, that's so embarrassing.
No, it's not embarrassing. It's wonderful. It's
just remember, it's not 7:30 in the morning where I am talking to you. Right,
I understand.
Now.
But I, you know, you didn't really say, where are you, Michael Patrick Shields?
Well, I'm in between. I'm in Michigan, and I'm on my way back to Hollywood, and right after Easter, and I thought of you. You know, the last time we talked, I was headed to the Santa Anita Derby.
Yeah.
And what a beautiful race it was. There were only 5 horses in the race, but it was a quality day with the mountains in the background and old-fashioned horse track like that, and I know you love horses.
Oh, yes.
I was so excited by the track announcer who they played in the park, Santa Anita Park, and also on television, because the horse that won was called Journalism. And I think you and I actually talked about it on your program if you go back. But the track announcer says, because I love broadcasting sports and all that, and he says, as Journalism was clearly going to win, and he says, write it down. Journalism is the best in the West. I thought that was the coolest damn thing, because, you know, these prep races are in Florida and Arkansas and other, you know, Santa Anita leading up to the Kentucky Derby. And
yes.
I just thought, damn, that was cool.
How many times have you been to see the Kentucky Derby run?
I have been there in person only once.
My goodness.
I don't miss it every year, that's for sure.
You know, it's wonderful. And it goes so fast. You know, they it's like, okay, the race is on and it's over. And it's like, oh, darn, it's over.
Yeah, well, it's the most exciting 2 minutes.
Yes.
In sports is what they call it, that run for the roses.
Yes.
That's another example, you know, of a bucket list, or we call it wander list, because we don't like the negativity of a bucket list. But now, if you're going to do that, you know, you want to dress up and wear a nice hat.
Yeah.
If you're a man, you get yourself a seersucker suit. And you want to do more than observe. You want to live the experience. And so, for instance, people go to play golf in Scotland or Ireland, and they get themselves one of those flat hats, you know, and they walk the course, and they want to live and walk in those footsteps. If you were at Harbortown this week, you know, at Hilton Head Island where the tour is, you can go and play there. It's open and available to you. Now, it's pricey, but it's a fun and beautiful spot, and you want to stand right there where you saw those tour players hitting those shots and making those putts. You want a picture in front of that lighthouse on the Calabogie Sound. It's just travel. It's just such an intoxicating thing for me. And it's not just the writer's tears talking.
And tinkle,
last time
tinkle,
it was
tinkle.
Swimming pool water. Remember, this time it's
tinkle, tinkle, go the little ice cubes against the glass. Yes, it sounds. Oh, don't. Oh, gosh, that's not even fair.
You don't have a Mai Tai in front of you this
no.
morning?
No, I got a cup of coffee and a mug of water.
Well, but I coffee in the world, probably Kona coffee, so you're okay.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful. Everything's fine. I'm absolutely happy. Michael Patrick Shields is with us. He's a Hollywood insider, radio talk show host, author, travel writer. I don't know how he keeps up with himself. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's truly incredible. He hosts the Michigan Big Show with Michael Patrick Shields. He's an award-winning syndicated talk show. He's my travel guru extraordinaire. And, you know, if you listen to us for any length of time, you'll understand why. Because he goes everywhere. And through Michael Patrick, I get a sense of a place that I might want to go to. I love that. But I want to know, where are you going to be for Easter week? I mean, for the actual Mass. Where are you going?
Oh, I love the drama of the Triduum, the Holy Thursday and Good Friday and Easter Sunday and so forth. I like the Resurrection Mass. I like to be there in the morning. And I am really going to get back on the calendar to return to the Holy Land because I was supposed to be there last August and broadcast from Jerusalem. And right before our broadcast journey was going to take place and travel writing journey, the United States Airlines stopped flying into Jerusalem because of the conflict
there. Oh, yes.
And so you could only go on El Al, which is the airline of Israel, which would have been fine, but it would have been a little concerning because that's your only way in and out. And we decided out of an abundance of caution not to go, and we'll wait a while. But they're flying again, Delta and some of the other airlines. And so I want to get that back on the calendar and get back there. And, you know, we talk about walking in the footsteps of the players at Hilton Head. I mean, you can go walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ on the Via Dolorosa, the Way of the Roses, or the Way of the Cross, and go there, go back in history, and you'll never, you know, hear Scripture, Bible, the same way again once you've actually been there and seen exactly what it's like. Now, there isn't golf to speak, but that's what I want to get back on the calendar as soon as I can, and I have been there, but it's 15-20 years there, and I'm here to go again, especially with what's going on now. I find it intriguing and exciting, and there are people who live there. There are people who still travel there to the old city of Jerusalem and lots of other places throughout Israel, and so I advise a guide, if you're going to go, and just Google up the Go Israel, and they'll have all the information for you on how to do that.
Excellent. I say that again. You're breaking up just a little bit. I'm not sure if you're moving around. Are you, you know, walking and talking, or you're what?
You have my full attention. I'm standing at attention.
I'm not worried about
that. It's not as dirty as it sounded. I just mean that.
Here we go. Michael Patrick, you're on a roll. No, I just wanted to let you know that if you are moving, it's making it difficult because the reception
I'm
is
standing
not...
standing right here.
Okay,
how's
good.
How's that? Is that all right?
Oh, that's perfect. Yes, that's perfect. You still have your glass?
Queen.
Okay, good. Yes, Michael is definitely not in our time zone. Now, I found this somewhere, you know, there's so many things. You've written so many things, but Michael Patrick puts you in the starring role of intriguing settings. He's galloped the globe as a radio host, author, and travel writer, catching up with business titans, world leaders, and assorted glitterati, including Richard Branson, Robert De Niro, Oscar De La Renta, and Jennifer Hudson. If you, too, want to sip shaken vodka martinis in the Casino de Monte Carlo, or plunder Pamplona in the footsteps of both the Bulls and Papa Hemingway, you got to read Michael Patrick, who likes life to be larger than life. That is, wow, what a statement.
Well, they never can. I always embrace the phrase, I'd rather have roses on my table than diamonds on my fingers.
Oh.
And what that really means is instead of having stuff, I'd rather have experiences. And so
yes.
I know people save up and they say they're going to take their honeymoon in Hawaii or a big anniversary trip to Hawaii or someplace special. And then they never can take it away, that memory from you. It's just really precious, I think.
Have you been in the Casino de Monte Carlo?
Yes, and to my point earlier about the Kentucky Derby, not only did I go in the casino, I wore a tuxedo, and I went, you know, got the vodka martini, shaken, not stirred,
yeah,
and the baccarat table, you know, and I felt like I was in a movie, like I was 007, and totally lived it up. And I'll never forget that, you know, and it was sort of fun and silly, but if you're going to do it, I think you ought to do it. And I think people want, you know, authentic experiences now, and I want to sometimes recreate what they see in the movies or on television or in history, and that's really cool to me. That's why I write like I do, and hopefully people can have those experiences too.
Okay, so now I have to ask you about the Michigan's big show, Rome Amalfi. 10 days, 14 meals, that's 8 breakfasts, 2 lunches, 4 dinners, highlights, Rome, Spanish Steps, Trevi Fountain, Piazza Navona, Imperial. Are you doing this? Is there a way to join?
It's, yeah, Colette Travel has put it together, and if you're interested in joining the group trip, go to mibigshow.com, and all the information is there, and we're going to go to Rome and Amalfi, and I've never been to Amalfi, so that would be kind of interesting, but it's all a scheme for me to meet Georgia Maloney, because she's my current crush of the century. Okay. I really, really want to meet the Italian Prime Minister, and I don't know if you know this about me. I think you do. I like to have a windmill tilt going at all times, you know, like some unachievable thing that I'm going to try to achieve.
Yes.
And that's the current one. I want to meet, interview if possible, but meet for sure Georgia Maloney. And she was in Washington this week and then flew back to, of course, Rome for Easter weekend. The vice president is actually there now, too. But anyway, I dig that lady, and I would like to meet her. I would like to go on a honeymoon with her to Hawaii if I can sort that out. But I'll start with just meeting her. How's that?
He's already getting married.
For the fifth time, that would be.
Michael Patrick, what's your latest book? What is your latest book? You said you have the...
The latest book is called Travel Tattler, Less Than Torrid Tales, and you can get it at Amazon.com. There are wedding stories in that book, too.
And his
the
other
Ireland
book.
One.
Let's see. He's also written J.P. McCarthy, Just Don't Tell Him Where I Am, Good Bounces and Bad Lies, the biography of Ben Wright, Speak Right, A Literary Guide to the Game of Golf, and Golf's Short Game for Dummies, and Secrets of the Great Golf Course Architects, a treasury of the world's greatest golf courses by history's master designers. All of these plus Travel Tattler. So, you know, you got to find one and read them, because not only does he talk a good game, he writes one.
My next books are going to be about being a fugitive from the Italian government. That's going to be called Fugitive Italiano, which is a true story.
Okay.
And also The Boy and the Bull, Fear and Parenting in Pamplona, about my experience of running with the bulls. Those are my next books. And then after that, I might write a book called Is Rick Really Gray?
You really come up with some incredible titles. Did you really run with the bulls?
Yeah, my father never believed it either. He thought I faked it with pictures and all that. But no, I did. I did it on my 50th birthday in Pamplona. That's another thing you can do. You watch it on TV and you laugh about it and all that. It is accessible to you. And if you do, I advise you to work with a company called Made for Spain and Portugal. And they will get you a rehearsal the day before with a guide who will show you how to do it as safely as possible. Now, they're going to tell you this is dangerous, you may die, but if you don't want to die, this is the best chance you've got. And they'll take you out there on the streets of Pamplona and coach you through it, which is exactly what they did with me.
Wow.
And on the morning I did it, which was the first morning of the running of the bulls, 3 people were gored.
Oh.
3 of them were Americans, yeah.
Oh.
And one of them was gored in the testicles.
Oh!
So you can imagine my phone from the people in America that day, because they heard it on NBC News. They said, geez, that's got to be him. It's got to be him.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Wasn't me, though.
You were a little scared, though, weren't you?
Oh, hell yeah. I was so scared, Danielle. I got up, speak of the devil, I got up at 5 in the morning that morning in Pamplona in order to get drunk in time to do it. Because it's at 8 a.m., and I needed a spooker. And you go to the church first and stand for men, and you pray with all the others who are running, pray for your safety.
Yeah.
Then you have to be on the street an hour before, because they seal off the street so nobody else gets hurt. That's not crazy enough to do it. And then you run. So, that's the first time I ever set an alarm to get up in time to start drinking in time to do something.
You know, didn't you hear the little voice of God saying, "What are you, nuts, dude?"
Yeah, but those are the moments I live for when I look at them and I say, "Who holy cow, how did I find myself here? And thank God I am. This is fantastic.
Okay.
The thrill of it all. And that's happened in Hawaii many times, too. So everybody listening there, I salute you for living in paradise like that.
Michael Patrick Shields, never is it a dull moment with you. Hollywood insider, radio talk show host, author, travel writer, and host of Michigan's Big Show with Michael Patrick Shields. Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse one more time. Anytime you can stop in, please do.
You are ohana, mahalo, and aloha.
Aloha. We're coming back with Andrew Iarussi, the assistant golf professional at Volcano Golf Course, because they've got something really cool coming up, and we can all help out. My name's Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamila Road on the Everside. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with Need a Gift for That Special Someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 coach certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Got my new book, Three Tips to Play Better Golf. Practice, practice, practice. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Andrew Iarussi, assistant golf professional at Volcano Golf Course, welcome into the clubhouse.
Good morning, Danielle.
Good morning. I want to get straight to an event that's happening that I think is fantastic. I love strokes. Four strokes. Can you talk to us about that?
Sure. So it is Saturday, May 3rd, at Volcano Golf Course. It's a charity golf tournament benefiting the Hilo Benioff Medical Center Foundation to support stroke victims and their families here on Big Island. It's going to be a two-person team scramble format, 8 o'clock shotgun start, $300 a team. We have incredible, incredible prizes that we've been able to gather. I don't know how many thousands of dollars worth of stuff, but it's going to be a really, really cool event. And I would say the biggest highlight of this tournament is going to be our hole-in-one sponsor, thanks to our friends at Orchard Ford. They have a Ford Bronco up for grabs for anyone who makes an ace on one of our par threes. I can't tell you which one it is for insurance purposes.
Of course.
Value of over $80,000.
Wow.
Up for grabs. So super excited for this event. Could not be more excited to promote this and to get this thing underway for the first ever Strokes for Strokes charity golf tournament.
So this is strokes, like the strokes in a golf, you know, swing, strokes for strokes. People have suffered a stroke, and now all the money raised goes to the Hilo Benioff Medical Center's strokes department for resources and supplies for them and their support group. So this is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Very excited.
Whose idea was it?
It was mine.
Oh!
Yeah, I'm a stroke survivor myself.
Wow.
This is something that is near and dear to my heart and something that I had a vision of doing a few years ago, and here I am doing it. So, yeah, really, really excited to do this.
Do you mind if I ask how old you are?
I am now 36. I had my stroke at 33 years old.
Wow. Oh,
yeah.
That's young. I mean, that's very unusual. Do they know what brought it on?
No, to this day, I don't really know what it is. I have ideas. Maybe it was high blood pressure.
Mm.
I was actually, it's a long story, but, I was actually, I had an RV and I was nomading around the country, and, I was working remotely, so there was some, stress and all
sure.
that of traveling and,
yes.
and learning a new job. And I think the two factors kind of put together may have caused it. But, I really don't know if I'll ever know the full truth of what caused it. But it kind of gave me a new purpose and direction to do something and use the platform of golf to do good. So that's kind of my mission right now.
That's fantastic. Absolutely. So it's a two-player team. And
yes.
And how does this work? So how do we register?
Okay, so the registration is on the Hilo Benioff Medical Center's website. And it's going to be 8 o'clock shotgun, 7:30 check-in. The format is going to be a little bit unique because it's going to be because we have so many prizes. I decided that we will do a gross low score prize uh-huh. for the winning teams. But the original idea, and I'm still sticking to this, is that Danielle, if you and I are on a team together and we make birdie, we each get two raffle tickets.
Okay.
And if we make par together, we get one raffle ticket each for that, and then when we finish the round, I'm going to have all the prizes that I've gathered, uh-huh. and you can enter them into a raffle drawing on the prizes that you want.
Okay.
And then we're going to do a drawing at the end of the round, and the winners will pick up whatever they entered into.
Now, can you tell us some of the prizes? Tease us.
There's so many.
Tease us.
Okay, so we have like Monolani donate. We have so many rounds of golf. We have Monolani. We have Hokulea. We have Kona Country Club. We have Volcano Golf Course. We have just so many golf courses. We one of the things I'm really excited to do is we got trophies donated for all the KPs and long drives.
Uh huh.
And if you enter or if you win the long drive or the KP, your name goes into a raffle again, and then whoever gets their name drawn out of that is going to win a Happy Gilmore putter. So I'm really excited for that one.
This is great.
But just so many things. We've got so many donations from golf companies, that custom head covers. We have like Big Island Candies donated over $200 worth of gift cards. We have just so many local businesses that donated to this. So a lot of stuff. Chances are you might come out of there with more things than what you entered into the tournament with. So it's going to be a really great, great event that I'm very excited for.
Yeah. And it's $300 for two people, right? For the team.
Correct. Yep.
All right. So that's fabulous. Now, how did you get into the game? How did you get involved in golf?
Into golf. So my grandmother would sneak me onto her golf course in Florida early in the morning before play. It was even open for play. So I was kind of the kid that would sneak out there with her. At the time, I was actually more excited to drive her golf cart. But the seed was planted from that point on. I was hooked onto the game. And then I eventually found myself competing into junior, summer leagues. And then I played high school golf. And, golf has always been a part of my life. Whether I was in it or not, it was just something that I was always involved with.
And now you're the assistant golf professional. So how do you help people? I'm assuming you're there if they need help with their game.
I'm there a lot. I'm doing individual lessons. We kicked off Operation 36 around last year. We also have First Tee rolling, so just doing a ton of different things, wearing a lot of hats, but loving it. Just doing a lot of different things.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Now, is it like? I have a vision of this idea that Volcano Golf Course is between Mauna Loa and Mauna Kea. Is that correct?
It's correct. It's beautiful. And it's right next to the volcano. I think we're on episode 16 or 17, if I'm, don't quote me, but
yes.
18, I believe, since December 23rd.
Yes.
Can
you see it?
Right next to us. It's been absolutely beautiful.
You can see it from the golf course.
Can it's amazing.
Wow.
It's the coolest thing I've ever seen. Yeah,
that's incredible. And what's amazing is I don't think people realize Volcano Golf and Country Club, the 18 hole golf course designed by Robert Trent Jones Sr.
Mm-hmm.
yeah
it's the oldest golf course on the island as well. It's a really, really cool setup. Yeah.
Okay. So that's it sounds wonderful. I'm just going to read this because for over 100 years at Volcano Golf Course, over 100 years, guests have been treated to the panoramic views of both Mauna Loa and Mauna Kea while playing alongside the ohia trees that bloom the vibrant red that they are, and the nene, Hawaii's state bird, and they nest throughout the property. This 18-hole golf course is set at the rim of the active Kilauea volcanic crater, that's 4,000 feet above sea, making it a truly unique golfing experience. Now, because you're so high up, what does that do to the ball flight?
It I would say it's about a club less flying up here. Yeah.
Just so in case you're going to go play at Volcano, know that it's going to be a little bit different.
Exactly. It's a very unique experience, but it's a lot of fun. Yeah.
Good. That's wonderful. Now, here's another question. You know, one of the biggest problems that golfers have is controlling the club face.
Mm-hmm.
What is your suggestion to somebody who's doesn't even realize that's one of the reasons why they're not having a great time on the course?
Sure.
What do you suggest?
Well, there's a lot of different things. Everyone's unique. But one of the biggest tips I give people is the logo on your golf club, on your golf glove, right? So whenever you make contact with it, I always tell my students to point the logo of the glove down the line of your target. And that'll usually square up your club face a little bit better than what they were doing before.
Oh, that's simple. That's a simple start.
Yeah, so hopefully that can help someone out there who's listening. But it's just a little, you know, snippet of what can typically work for people.
Okay, all right. Thank you. So let's go back to strokes, four strokes. And it's, you know, strokes and F-O-R-E. I love this. Strokes, we're swinging and it doesn't matter how good you play. That's not, you know, that's always helpful. If you play terrific, then you stand to get more prizes, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And how much is that car? Which car is up there, over there, that we might win?
It's a Ford Raptor Bronco worth $80,000. So I really hope someone makes an ace. I would just love that. It'd be awesome.
It would be. And all of this is happening. Strokes for Strokes is on Saturday, May 3rd at Volcano Golf Course. Charitable beneficiary is the Hilo Benioff Medical Center Foundation, supporting stroke victims and their families on Hawaii Island. And the details on how to register, where do we find those?
It's at the Hilo Benioff Medical Center Foundation website, and then it's under events and then strokes for strokes.
Okay.
So all the registration is right up there. Yep.
Yeah, and two people, it's only $300. So, you know, you're going to go out and have a great time. You're going to win things because the power of positive thinking is going to be on your side. You're going to win things. There's raffle tickets and prizes galore. So many that Andrew couldn't even remember them all. And I'm not surprised.
Yeah. A lot of great stuff.
You're awesome. Well, if you have time to be on the show before May 3rd, don't hesitate. I'd love to have you on. You're fun. Thank you.
I'd love to be back. Thank you so much, Danielle.
Aloha. Andrew Iarussi is the assistant golf professional, Volcano Golf Course, and it's strokes for strokes. All right, we're going to come back. Matt Janella is going to join us this morning. I haven't had a chance to talk with Matt Janella. Matty G, what's it been, years? Right after this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghaus, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
Hey, Hawaii, spring has sprung, although it feels... Remember when it's like everything shifted? Remember in the old days when the heavy rains came kind of over the Christmas time, you know, and then spring and everything would start growing? Well, we're getting all the rain and spring has sprung. Like, make your life easier. All you need is a riding mower. They have them for people who have, you know, regular size lawns, gigantic size. They're not necessarily lawns. But they're acreage that has to be kept under control. So make your life a little bit easier. Get your riding mower and take advantage of the riding mower sale at Aloha Power Equipment's the spring riding mower sale at Aloha Power Equipment. And now, whether you're a homeowner or you've got one of those supersized gardens and you need one of the really big landscapers, we've got them all for you. Smooth riding mowers, the smooth riding mower of your dreams, waiting here for you. And don't forget the accessories. From mowing to mulching and bagging, we make yard work easy. You mow it, you blow it, put it all together with the blower, and then bag it, and it's done. Remember, it's still fire season and will be probably forever. Protect your property with the best tools around. And if you live on a neighbor island, no worries. We ship off island just for you. New shipments come in daily. So tell them Danielle sent you. That's Aloha Power Equipment's the spring riding mower sale.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamula Road on the Everside. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
The golf club tip number 81. Don't throw your bag in the pond. You'll want your car keys and wallet when driving home. Now, back to the golf club with Danielle Tucker.
It's so sad, you know, that to know that somebody actually did that one day and then, you know, had to go get the car keys and the soggy bag and all that stuff. Matt Janella, golf advisor, editor-in-chief, I think, still, hosts Golf Advisor Round Trip, travel expert and golf course design enthusiast, and storyteller and founder of Fire Pit Productions. He's host of Janella's Journeys, Bonfires, In the Dirt, and the Fire Pit Podcast. Welcome into the clubhouse, Matt.
Always good to be here, Danielle. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. And you, sir? Did I get any of that right?
All sounds, you know, it's You know, yes, correct.
Okay. Now, the last time we talked, I think you had just come back from Ireland, from Waterville in Lahinch. How long ago was that? Was that like, it seems like forever. But it is so good to have you in the show, on the show. Yes.
Always good to be back on with you and Hawaii. I'm actually going back to Ireland in May, so bringing the whole family or a big chunk of the family over and doing some more travel features in Ireland in May.
And where will we see those features?
So I'm working in partnership with Tourism Ireland. Obviously, all of my stuff can be seen, read, heard, and watched on thefirepitproductions.com.
Awesome.
We got, you know, a variety of social channels and YouTube channels, but that website has a link to almost everything we do.
Say that again for everybody.
Thefirepitproductions.com.
Okay, fantastic. Where did you get the Fire Pit?
I started the Fire Pit podcast in COVID 2020. The original production company's name was Dawn Patrol Productions, but the podcast was the Fire Pit Podcast, meaning, you know, we sit around fires going back to the beginning of man to,
right,
you know, reflect on life and tell stories or listen to stories, and fire being a fire pit being kind of the hub of that activity. It felt like a good name to call what I was doing in terms of the podcast, which was telling stories through multiple voices. And have produced, I don't know, countless podcasts. The podcast itself is a little bit on pause right now as I've shifted the business to the production, back to a full production company, working with a lot of resorts and courses and destinations as we, you know, document the beginning, the middle, and the end of a development, or the beginning, the middle, end of a restoration, like we just completed at Paso Tiempo for the last 2+ almost 3 years of documenting that project they've been working on.
Wow. You have completely changed and completely, what, you know, you went from Golf Channel and now it's your own production company, Fire Pit Productions, thefirepitproductions.com. What inspired you to do that, to take that leap?
I loved, when I first started Sports Illustrated, I feel like I saw kind of the end of, you know, a news weekly, right? Sports Illustrated was a news weekly. That concept is long gone, right? That I left Sports Illustrated it was 2001.
Wow.
Went to Golf Digest. I feel like I've kind of seen the end of, I saw the end of what was monthly magazines. Magazines in general just seems like an archaic way of getting, you know, information and content and storytelling. And then I went to Golf Channel, and I think, you know, we've watched the end of what is traditional linear distribution, outside of live events, whether that be sports or the Grammys or whatever, we're not really beholden to specific times and days in which we consume our TV, so to speak.
Yeah.
It's all streaming now. It's available at different times at your convenience. You get big, large content drops. So as I was watching all of these things evolve and the way media works and distribution of storytelling works, I was getting a little antsy at Golf Channel because I kind of felt like, wow, what I do and how I do it, as I've said many times, I'd go out for 5 days, create a bunch of lifestyle content. We'd have an abundance of storytelling, but in a linear distribution, it would have to be cut down to X number of minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 7 minutes. It would be really hard pressed to get anything over 7 minutes in the traditional linear distribution model of what was, say, the Golf Channel. And to me, that was always killing the cow and only eating the filet. Like all that extra stuff seemed like it needed a home. And in my mind, if you look at how we're consuming, you know, so much golf or storytelling or content in general,
It's not the way we used to do it 5 years ago, 10 years ago, certainly not the way we did it 20 years ago. So having a production company and being able to have my own website and my own social channels and my own podcast or my own partnerships in which I'm creating content for what they need, which is to own their own story, it just seemed like a better future and business model for me.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So, but you took a leap of faith and believed in yourself and made the change. And that's awesome. You saw the writing on the wall. It's awesome. I'm congratulations. And yeah, it's not.
Well, I've had a lot of hard mistakes. You know, at one point I actually started a media company. When COVID hit, a travel and lifestyle production company didn't make much sense when no one is moving. You know, you're going local, but you're not going anything beyond that. And that's when I had to pivot to the media company, which was Fire Pit Collective. And I made a lot of mistakes. I learned a lot of hard lessons in doing what I did there. And, you know, I'm proud of the people we hired and the work that we produced. But it was hard to come up with a business model that I could, that was sustainable, because, you know, in the end, I got too big too fast. But I'm back to a production company. I'm back to the original vision I had when I left the Golf Channel. I'm still able to work with people like Golf Digest and Golf Channel in partnership with some of the stories that they need told. I just have a lot more options and opportunities to work elsewhere as well. And now I've, you know, decreased the overhead and had those hard lessons learned and, you know, applying them to what I'm doing now. And it's fun and it's exciting and it's stressful, but it's not ever easy to, you know, as you know, to work for yourself, but it's there's a lot of rewards on the back end.
Oh yeah. And there's somebody in the world of golf who got the rewards on the back end after much waiting, right? I mean, yeah. Rory McIlroy at Augusta National, it's always been his, you know, his fall down place. What a thrill for all of us.
For everyone except for maybe Justin Rose and a handful of others, I still can't believe, Danielle, well, you know, sort of what we witnessed. You know, it's very rare that we come into a Sunday at Augusta and have those, that level of high expectations, and then have those expectations of what is going to be the drama, it be exceeded, right? That exceeded any and all expectations as to what could possibly transpire in that 18 and, you know, ultimately became 19 holes of golf. I think it's so crazy to me till to this day that the guy who had two double bogeys that day beat the guy who had 10 birdies.
Yes.
I mean, that's what happened, right? I mean, and I think Paul McGinley said it best. It's very obvious that Rory doesn't play defensive golf very well, right? He doesn't play well with the lead, and he doesn't play defensive golf. Tiger was a master at defensive golf. If he got the lead, he wasn't giving it up. He was able to hit the shots. He was able to sort of, you know, kill his competition with 1,000 cuts.
Yeah.
And we saw it so often. But when Rory gets the lead and in those situations, you know, he hit from 86 yards on 13, he jumps into the water. That, like, you know, Danielle, you and I could sit there with 100 balls and not put it in the water from 86 yards. We could scull it over the green and we could put it left into the bunker, but we're not going into the water. He hit it into the water. And then two holes later, from 210 yards, hits a high hook 7-iron, you know, to 10 feet. I mean, missed the eagle putt. But, like, every time he hit a bad shot, he hit a good shot almost on the next hole or the following hole after that to make up for it. I mean, to birdie 17 and then dump it in the bunker on 18 from 120 yards and make bogey on 18 with a one-shot lead, and then come back one hole later and pipe it down the middle in the playoff hole and knock it to, you know, 2.5-3 feet and make the putt to win. Mm-hmm. It's mind-boggling. That's the same guy.
His mind was boggled.
Our hearts were boggled. Our souls were boggled. Yes. The history books are boggled.
Yes.
Everything. Throw it out the window. He had four double bogeys on the week. That
No one has ever won the Masters with four double bogeys, but Rory did.
But Rory did. Yeah, that'll be, you are a really good storyteller. You know that? You just, that was a beautiful map. I just re-experienced the whole up and down.
I not many people sat down to watch that match. You know, you might have sat down for the start, but you ended the day on your feet. I mean, and again, it was so refreshing because men's professional golf has been so splintered and so dysfunctional and such a dumpster fire. And, you know, that was a nice week in which we just got to watch the best in the world compete at one of the greatest venues. There wasn't, you know, although it might have been mentioned, there wasn't really talk of, like, Liv versus, certainly Bryson and Rory in the final pairing after the U.S. Open at Pinehurst. And that, you know, I get it. It's the tour versus Liv, you know, the faces of those two leagues or, you know, organizations. But it didn't seem to be the overwhelming, you know, commentary. It just simply felt like the best in the world trying to win a major championship and trying to win a green jacket.
Yeah.
And I watched more golf last week than I have in the last, I don't know, 6 months. I've just been disenchanted with sort of the week-to-week men's professional golf. But majors are more major now because we do get to see the best under one roof. And that last week, boy, that was compelling and really sets the stage for another three majors, by the way, which are Quail Hollow, which Rory loves, Royal Portrush, which he held, he has the course record there, I think, when he was like 16 years old. It's a home game for him at Royal Portrush. And then we have Oakmont, which favors a long and straight, you know, straight guy off the tee. And I mean, this guy could go on a run.
Yeah. I mean, this could be his opening. And I sure hope so. I just hope he plays like the young Rory played, you know, like out of your head, you know, just get out of your head, because it always gets him in trouble. It gets everybody in trouble. It's the bottom line is, you know, you got to feel it. Just be in the feels, man.
Yeah. Well, that was a lot of feels. And I do think that this was a wall that he needed to break through. You know, a lot of people had said multiple times that if he was going to win one, he was going to need to come from behind. And in a sense, what he did was he created scenarios throughout that day in which he had to come from behind by his own doing, by his own accord. But he had to keep coming back from behind. And that he plays better golf that way, very clearly and obviously. And I think now that you know, that weight is off those, you know, those narrow shoulders, I just think there's never been a question on his talent and his ability and how he is essentially one of the best of his generation. And I think now, you know, where he's at in his life, seemingly very, you know, content and happy. There's been some bumps in his personal life. There's been some bumps in his professional life. He was the face of the tour. He was up against the fight against Liv. He was in and out of the leadership of what was trying to solve this problem. He just seems now to be focused on golf. He relieved himself of what was the burden of another major, of the career Grand Slam. And now I just think he's going to be three. He has three wins already this year, a Players and a Masters. I just think he has the potential to truly do something this year that is along the lines of the Tiger 2000, 2001, and go on a run that could be very special.
Yeah.
It already is.
Yeah, it already is. And it would be really something to see that. Now, in all of this, you know, we seem to, you know, Scottie Scheffler, number one in the world.
Yeah.
What do you think is going on with Scottie?
No, Scottie is, you know, he felt like he was going to have a good week last week. He didn't have a bad week. I mean, Scottie, the thing about Scottie that's interesting to me is, and he has said it himself at the podium in front of the mic, you know, this is not the end-all, be-all for him.
You know, he doesn't have that burn and desire like a Tiger Woods or what seems to be Rory McIlroy. Scotty very, very, you know, sort of, you know, very, I don't know, sort of, he's come out and said this multiple times. It's just not, he loves golf. It's his job, but it's not his number one priority. He's loaded with talent. He's incredible. He's proven himself on, you know, in several ways, shapes, and forms. He's going to go down as one of the best of his generation. But I don't know that he has the same level of fire and ambition to try to, you know, break records or keep building up his name in the history books. And that's fine. That's fine. It's just, I just think it's going to ultimately mean that, you know, his run of domination or at the top is probably not going to be as long as some of the guys like the Tigers who just, you know, he was consumed by greatness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I just don't know that Scotty has that.
Yeah. In other words, golf isn't his be-all and end-all. You know, it's
totally fine.
Yes, exactly. And for others, it is. You know, I mean, they've got their family and everything like that. But when it comes to self-worth, it's all about how well they do on the golf course. And it's all-consuming. And I can see it in the way Scotty's demeanor is. You know, he's just really laid back. He got angry at himself a little bit. The body language indicated something to that effect. And I imagine that with an injury that, you know, you don't know how long it's going to take. And sometimes the body just goes, hey, I don't like you today.
Well, we all experience that in different ways.
Right.
And certainly at that level they do. I think the difference between like a Jon Rahm or Bryson DeChambeau, that the game is very all consuming for them.
And
I think, you know, it was for Rory. I think Rory has tried to essentially find a balance between, you know, what is his ambition and his goals and desires to what is also kind of finding a life balance of being able to be, available to his family and to whatever else that matters to him in his life. So,
sure.
I don't know. This is the one thing that I think we or members of the media or fans in general sometimes forget is these guys, you know, these men and women are human beings, right? They're going through stuff off the course and in life that we all go through. Now, granted, they're a lot wealthier. They've got a lot of money. Maybe that eases some of their pressures or anxieties. But maybe it adds to it, right? Like maybe that doesn't always create peace and happiness. And then there's the mind, body, spirit, and everything that they're going through. And so the ebbs and flows. I think that's why a Tiger Woods is so impressive. The way he was able to compartmentalize all of what was going on off the course. Still be able to get to, you know, 82 and 15 on the course. It's just sort of mind-boggling on that level. And you got a Jack Nicklaus who's been married to his wife for 65 years, had 18 first in majors, 19 seconds, 46 top five, you know, top threes, 56, I think, top five. That's the kind of stuff that you, in the end, marvel at.
You marvel at, exactly. You sit back and go, wow, he really did that.
Yeah.
We had so much, you know, it's so much fun talking with you, and I have, you know, 4 minutes left in the show, and I've got to thank the sponsors. The Pozzatiempo restoration was on my list of things, Jim Urbina Golf Design doing that, and, Gamble Sands, an event that's going to be there, all this coming up, and we just are pretty much out of time.
No problem. Just go to the 5pitchproductions.com, a 2-part docuseries on Pozzatiempo's restoration of an Alistair McKenzie original, and the greens is on there. And,
And you can sign up for our event at Gamble Sands. It's what was called a bonfire. We got a big announcement coming next week on a partnership we have with Gamble Sands. But I'll let you go, Danielle. It's always great to talk to you.
It's
aloha to all of my friends and family in Hawaii. And you know what I think of the islands. And thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely, Matt Janella. Don't go right away. I need a commitment from you. Can we do this more like, more than once every 3 years? That
would... Yes.
And now that you're settled in, you were very, very, very busy getting, and then there's the kids to take care of, and Saturdays and all that stuff. So I totally understand, but I'll be knocking. So don't, I'm just fine if you say no, Danielle, I don't got time.
Well, I'm off to my little man's baseball game. If you haven't watched seven-year-olds play baseball, it is one of the cutest things on planet Earth. I'm the assistant to the assistant coach, so I got a big role to play at first base coach. So I'm off to the baseball game. But thanks again for having me, Danielle.
Take me out to the ball game. Thank you so much, Matt Janella.
Let's play two.
Aloha. Bye-bye. Okay, and there's going to be a 72-hole stroke play at Mid-Pacific. At Mid-Pacific Open, the Aloha section is all a part of it. It's on April 24th through the 27th. So get in touch with Mid-Pacific Country Club or the Aloha section PGA to see if you can be in it. It's a 72-hole stroke play, and it's on April 24th. And I'm saying all this because I'm going to be doing the show on Saturday from the Mid-Pacific Open, okay? It's the 2025 Mid-Pac Open. All right, now let's thank the people who make this show possible. The golf club sponsors are Aloha Power's Spring Riding Mower Sale. And we have specials in every size. Whack it, and then bag it, and you're done. Riding mowers from landscapers to homeowner sized, something that's really comfortable that doesn't make you pull around and afterwards you're exhausted. Let the equipment do the job. So you want them? We got them today. And you can get yours today at Aloha Power Equipment. They're open Monday through Saturday. The only day they're closed is on Sunday. So this is all in Iwilei next to the Costco gas station. You'll see their sign. And in Waipahu, so if you're driving down Farrington Highway heading Eva bound, or actually it's past Eva, you're going Waianae bound, you're going to make a left, okay? You're going to make a left turn, and then you're going to say, and then by, it's Waipahu Depot Street, you're going to make a right. Unless you're going eastbound, Cocoaed bound, then you're in the right direction anyway. And they're right on the corner. And you're going to make a right. And you're going to get right on in there. And you're going to see those fabulous riding mowers. I've always wanted to be on one of those, be in charge. I'd probably run into the really deep stuff and be stuck. I want to thank you for your mana. Thank you for being here today and enjoying the show with me. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2025.